the DPRK's continued pursuit of weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missile programs is a threat.
Another North Korea missile launch. It's Wednesday, January 12th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Cascale in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, UN says Afghanistan needs more aid. Afghan migrants seek vaccines. Australia hits grim milestone. Getting sick with Fluorona. Fashion integrates technology. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Not even 2 weeks into the new year, North Korea has already conducted two missile launches. VOA's Bill Gallo has the latest from Seoul.
The latest North Korean missile splashed into the sea off Korea's east coast early Tuesday. Details are sparse, but South Korea's military suggests the missile shared similarities with North Korea's missile test last week. North Korea on Thursday claimed a successful test of a new hypersonic missile. At the time, South Korea's government said that claim was exaggerated. But on Tuesday, the South acknowledged North Korea's latest launch may have seen improvements. Though neither missile flew over Japan, the launches are rattling North Korea's neighbors.
昨年来、北朝鮮が連続してミサイルを発射し
Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida said it is very regrettable that North Korea continues the launches. South Korea also expressed strong regret at the tests. The latest launch came hours after the United Nations Security Council held a closed-door meeting to discuss the previous launch. U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, spoke after the meeting.
The DPRK's continued pursuit of weapons of mass destruction and ballistic missile programs is a threat to international peace and security. This launch is the latest in a series of ballistic missile launches and shows the DPRK's determination to expand its unlawful weapons capability.
North Korea is prohibited from any ballistic missile activity by a series of UN Security Council resolutions. In an end-of-year speech, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un spoke of the need to improve his country's defense capabilities without a moment's delay. He has rejected repeated U.S. offers to resume nuclear talks, saying the United States must first drop what it calls a hostile policy. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. Hong Kong's primary schools and kindergartens will pause in-person learning on Friday due to COVID-19 infections reported among students. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said Tuesday, if the virus situation improves, students can return to class after the Lunar New Year holiday in the first week of February. She added that students will eventually be able to go to schools to get vaccinated. Hong Kong has tightened pandemic-related restrictions in recent days, after discovering Omicron had spread beyond people arriving from overseas. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Former top U.S. commander in Korea urges allies to include China in war plans. China locks down third city, raising affected to 20 million. U.S. and partners condemn North Korea missile launch. UN urges release of thousands detained during Kazakh protests. Kazakh leader says Russia-led security group to pull out troops. Find complete coverage on all these stories on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia on this Wednesday. The United States announced on Tuesday $308 million in new humanitarian aid for Afghanistan. The U.S. Agency for International Development said that the funding would specifically go toward food and nutrition aid, supporting healthcare facilities and mobile health efforts, making sure aid workers and supplies can reach difficult areas, and programs to help people get through the winter, such as shelter kits, heaters, blankets, and warm clothing. This comes as the United Nations is appealing for a record $5 billion to provide life-saving humanitarian assistance to 28 million people in Afghanistan and in 5 neighboring countries of refuge this year. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The bulk of the funds, $4.4 billion, will provide vital relief for 22 million people in Afghanistan, nearly half of the country's population. This is the largest ever appeal for humanitarian assistance for a single country, but then the needs of this country are enormous. The United Nations warns Afghanistan is becoming one of the world's worst, fastest-growing humanitarian crises. It says half of Afghanistan's population is facing acute hunger. More than 9 million people are internally displaced, and millions of children are out of school. UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs Martin Griffiths says farmers and herders are struggling to survive amid the worst drought in decades. He says people need help to endure the impact of years of conflict and of a shattered economy.
Up to 1 million children under 5, if we do not get assistance to them, will suffer from severe and acute malnutrition. We need to get food to the families where they live. We need to get seeds to the farmers where they plow. We need to get health services to the clinics in locations throughout the country. And we need protection services for all those people who want to return home.
Afghanistan is facing a massive problem of internal and external displacement. More than 9 million people are displaced inside the country, about one-third because of conflict. More than 6 million Afghan refugees are living in neighboring countries, mostly in Pakistan and Iran. UN High Commissioner for Refugees Filippo Grandi says it is urgent to help sustain Afghanistan's economy and public services to ward off more large-scale displacements.
If the country collapses, implodes, we've said it so many times, but it's worth repeating, then we may see a much bigger exodus of people. The key issue here is to transform this massive internal displacement, probably the biggest in the world in terms of numbers, and prevent this from becoming a massive external displacement, which, you know, is a very major risk at this point.
Grandi urges the international community to do everything it can to prevent a catastrophe in Afghanistan. He warns this would further drive displacement both within the country and throughout the region. The UN says it needs $623 million to support 5.7 million Afghan refugees and the communities hosting them in neighboring countries. The funds will provide protection, health and nutrition, food, shelter, water and sanitation, education, and other essential relief. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still to come on VOA Asia, unregistered Afghan refugees in Turkey seek vaccines. Happening now in Asia, Japan says it will keep its borders closed to most foreign citizens through February as it attempts to accelerate coronavirus booster shots for elderly people and expand hospital capacity to cope with the rapidly spreading Omicron variant. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Undocumented Afghan migrants who have fled to Turkey to escape the Taliban say they are unable to access treatment and vaccines for COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. While officially registered refugees do qualify for healthcare in Turkey, it's believed there are thousands of unregistered Afghan migrants in the country. Henry Ridgewell reports for VOA.
Erzurum in central Turkey is on a major route for migrants heading west to Europe. It's a stopover for many Afghan refugees. Some settle here and find work. According to official United Nations figures, Turkey is hosting around 183,000 Afghan asylum seekers. But unofficial estimates suggest thousands more Afghan migrants are undocumented, living and working in Turkey under the radar and unable to access basic services like healthcare. Mohammed is among them. He told VOA, "I am from Badakhshan province in Afghanistan. I came to Turkey 2 months ago. I am 18 years old. We have no ID cards, so the hospitals don't treat us." Mohammed works in a local dairy company, along with several other Afghan migrants in Erzurum, including Islam. He told VOA, "There are 8 or 9 people living in this room. 5 people have ID cards and the rest don't. If any of those who don't have an ID card catches coronavirus, the hospitals don't treat them. Those who have no ID card cannot have a vaccine. If they catch coronavirus, we will all catch coronavirus." Several Afghan migrants told VOA they choose not to register as official refugees, fearing arrest and deportation. Many said the status of Afghan refugees remains unclear, and they want clarification from the Turkish government. Turkey has ramped up border security and detained hundreds of Afghan migrants in deportation centres. The Turkish government did not respond to VOA questions on the number of undocumented Afghan migrants or the lack of access to healthcare. Erzurum officials said any unregistered refugees would be arrested. The United Nations says Turkey is hosting around 4 million refugees, 3.7 million of whom are Syrians fleeing conflict. Visiting Turkey in September, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, praised the government for what he called extremely positive policies towards migrants.
My visit here is also an opportunity to appeal to the international community, to donor countries, to international organizations, to do more to help Turkey maintain these very generous policies for the refugees that it hosts.
Many Afghans say their status of refugees remains uncertain, so they prefer to live in the shadows as they seek a new life. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The Chinese city of Yuzhou collected more than 1 million samples in a 7th round of mass coronavirus testing since the first cases were detected, after 74 more cases were reported and the city was put on lockdown Monday. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. The number of patients in hospitals in the Australian state of Victoria with COVID-19 has risen to its highest level since the pandemic began. The total number of coronavirus infections across Australia has now passed 1 million. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports for VOA.
Lockdowns and border closures are credited with helping Australia limit the spread of COVID-19. But as the country attempts to ease rules following high rates of vaccinations, infections have reached record levels. New South Wales, the most populous state, has reported more than 500,000 COVID-19 cases since the pandemic began, after a recent surge in infections. In neighbouring Victoria, infections are also increasing sharply. It's diagnosed 38,000 new cases in the past day. Health officials said Tuesday there are 861 coronavirus patients in hospital, a figure not seen since the pandemic began, and 117 patients are in intensive care. Most of the reported cases are Omicron variant infections, which have placed the health system under immense strain. Ambulance authorities in Victoria Tuesday issued their second code red warning in the space of a week, highlighting extreme demand for paramedic services. Under new orders coming into force this Thursday, staff in key sectors in Victoria, including health and aged care, must receive a third dose of a COVID-19 vaccine before they're allowed to work. But Victoria State Premier Daniel Andrews says that lockdowns and other tougher restrictions are not being considered.
I don't know what variant's coming in a month or in 6 months. I don't know. But we're going to do everything we possibly can to have as few rules as possible. That's what living with this or normalising this or pushing beyond it is all about. We're having to live a bit differently, but we've got very few rules compared to, you know, go and have a look at Europe at the moment. You know, it's, yeah, very, very difficult.
Across Australia, more than 3,500 people with COVID-19 are in the hospital, up from about 2,000 people a week ago, according to official health data. It also shows that 2,389 people have died since the start of the pandemic. 92% of Australians aged over 16 have received two vaccine doses. Children aged 5 to 11 years are now eligible for a coronavirus vaccination in Australia. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Making headlines in Asia, Taiwan's Air Force on Tuesday suspended combat training for its F-16 fleet after a recently upgraded model of the fighter jet crashed into the sea. The government's Rescue Command Center said witnesses had seen the aircraft crash into the sea, and helicopters and ships were searching for the pilot. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Amid the COVID-19 crisis, Americans have forgotten about that age-old winter sickness, the flu. But it is flu season, and some unlucky people are getting hit with both illnesses. VOA's Angelina Bagdasarian has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
In one 24-hour period in the first week of the new year, the California city of Los Angeles reported over 37,000 new cases of COVID-19.
I'm just getting over COVID, so I just finished my quarantine, and it's terrible. It's awful. It happened so quickly, we had no idea, and all four people in my house are sick. Well, no one's coming into my house that's not tested.
But Omicron is not the only problem this winter season. Doctors are now seeing cases of people becoming sick with what they're calling flu-rona, infections of both the coronavirus and the flu. Infectious disease experts say it's not a new illness.
There is no creation of a new virus, so I'm not sure why somebody came up with this name, flu-rona. And this is actually not something new. We've known about this since the beginning of the pandemic. But what's new is people have put a name on it.
Los Angeles has already seen cases of flu-rona.
That's likely to happen more commonly in the northern hemispheres right now because countries in the northern hemispheres are going into their flu season. And we're also having a surge in SARS-CoV-2 cases because of Omicron. So it's likely we're going to see more people co-infected with both viruses.
Timothy Brewer, an epidemiology professor at the University of California, Los Angeles, says vaccinated people are decently well protected and unlikely to catch flu-rona. And if they do, they should have fewer complications. But as health experts keep saying, the disease, or diseases, are much more dangerous for the unvaccinated.
I have my 3 shots, so I hope I'm safe with the blood of Jesus. I just usually just stay at home and go get food when I needed to. I'm a homebody anyway.
California authorities have extended the indoor face mask mandate for another month. One by one, concerts and festivals are being canceled in the Los Angeles area. However, there is one exception. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has promised that the main sporting event of the year, the Super Bowl, won't be canceled. It will take place on February 13th, no matter what. For Angelina Bagdasarian in Los Angeles, Anna Rice, VOA News.
U.S. doctors transplanted a pig heart into a patient in a last-ditch effort to save his life. A first for medical science. Doctors at University of Maryland School of Medicine said Monday the patient is doing well 3 days after surgery.
This patient was given an opportunity for this this experimental transplant with the idea in mind that we didn't know what the outcome might be, but it wasn't going to be worse than traditional therapy.
The patient is 57-year-old David Bennett, a Maryland handyman too sick to get a human heart. Bennett said before the surgery, "I want to live. I know it's a shot in the dark, but it's my last choice." His son now.
He realizes the magnitude of what was done, and he realizes the importance of it. And talking with him, I've never in my life heard or seen my dad cry, but I think he realized the seriousness of his condition in the last couple weeks.
Friday's surgery showed for the first time that a gene-edited animal heart can function in the human body without immediate rejection. Cutting-edge technology could change the face of fashion as we know it. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
Born without her lower left arm, model Kelly Knox chooses not to use prosthetics as an aid, but as an accessory for self-expression. This acrylic prosthetic was custom designed for her by artist Sophie de Oliveira Barada as a piece of jewelry. Eva Thornton is an assistant curator at the Tobin Museum of Art in Roanoke, Virginia. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
She works with colleagues and scientists and prosthetists on ways for people to express themselves artistically through their kinetic jewelry.
The prosthetic is just one example of high-fashion garments and accessories forged by modern technology on display at a fine arts museum in Roanoke, Virginia. They offer some insight into how technology might transform fashion in the future. A brass face mask, created by artist Ewan Nowak, for example, was designed to fool facial recognition technology.
It allows human-to-human recognition very easily, but foils the AI programs.
Some artists used the latest in 3D printing, making a physical object from a digital model, to create clothing, shoes, and accessories. And while fashion has long been influenced by Mother Nature, these artists have taken it to a new level. Bodysuits grown from mycelium, and dresses made from algae. Sequins made from tree cellulose instead of petroleum-based plastic, and a bolero from recycled badminton shuttlecocks.
I hope that people will think more carefully about the way fashion is produced, how we can work with 3D printing or biomaterials to be more responsible.
It's a concept the artists hope people will take to heart. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Roanoke, Virginia.
Finally on VOA Asia, the iconic rock and roll band The Rolling Stones is being honored with a special set of stamps by Britain's Royal Mail, the Postal Service announced Tuesday. The set of 12 stamps features images from the musical group's standout performances from the past 5 decades. A further 4 stamps, presented in a miniature sheet, features 2 shots of the band together and 2 of their vintage worldwide tour posters. The stamps go on general sale on January 20th. The band celebrates its 60th anniversary in 2022. Drummer Charlie Watts died last August at age 80. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.